And now, futures. Okay. All right, who needs chapter 14? I pass this out also. Okay, pass this around. Futures. Yeah, okay, I gave them out because so I'm getting them all out here. So you guys, you get one, futures? Okay, here we go. Now this, right on the other side. Pass it that way. I have nothing but scorn for options, folks. But in the case of futures, these things make sense. They have been used for hundreds of years. They are very powerful tools to help the economy move. So I am not going to scorn these things. But that doesn't mean they're not dangerous. In fact, potentially, they are more dangerous than options. Because in options, you just tend to lose your money. Bingo. You don't tend to lose a lot of money unless you're really, really risky. But you tend to lose your money. In futures, you can lose tremendous sums of money, unbelievable sums of money. And so, of course, as we're going to see next week when we get to margining and shorting, your brokerage is not going to let you. As soon as you start losing a lot of money, they're going to contact you and say, you got to get out of this now. And if you don't respond back, they will do it for you because you signed a brokerage agreement that said they could. And Mark Twain knew it best, folks. You've heard of Mark Twain. You've read Huckleberry Finn, right? Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. Yes? You didn't like it? You didn't like Huckleberry Finn? Why is that? Okay. All right. Because it's pretty powerful. It's pretty powerful. It's probably the best American, United States writer's novel of all time. And it tells it like it is. It tells, it really told it like it was. No, that was good for a bad example. Exactly. That was good for a bad. What? I thought that was Citizen Kane. Holy crap, are you serious? Okay, well, that was very. Are you saying you didn't like it because it was racist? Huckleberry Finn? Well, it showed it what it was like. It basically said, this is America. Welcome to America. I think so. But what I like about it is that the slave Jim in the book keeps telling Huck that he's going to be rich someday. He's going to be rich someday. He knows he's going to be rich someday. And at the end of the book, his master frees him, and he says, "Look, Huck, I'm rich. I own myself." And like you think. Oh boy, is that powerful. you think, oh, I got a car, I got a house. When you have yourself, that's something. Anyway, Mark Twain said it best. There are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate. When he can't afford it, and when he can. And he knew, not Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens. That was his real name. He pissed away his entire fortune that he made from writing and speaking engagements and the like on just the most stupidest, insane investments you can imagine. So it's funny. Here's a guy giving very good advice that he didn't take any of it. Erroneous. Polonius. Polonius. That's why it's called Polonius and Erroneous, yes. Futures contract. A commitment to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. The buyer and the seller, so it's a contract, it's like an option in that respect, specify a commodity or financial instrument to be delivered and paid when the contract matures. The futures price is guaranteed by the contract. Futures started with commodities, hard assets, real assets, wheat, soybean, cattle, pork bellies, gold, oil, and then, starting about 40 years ago, they moved into the financial world. Yes. A hard asset is something that you can knock on, like wheat or soybeans or gold or oil, commodities. Whereas they don't usually use the term soft asset. We say security. A security is not something you can. Well, you can go over to FedEx and knock on the truck and say, okay, this is my hard asset. But no, we're talking about things that are commodities that are bought and sold. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Okay, good. All right, where's my clicker here? Producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively. You're a farmer. Have you ever been on a farm? Yeah, maybe 30 years ago or so. Yeah, well, you know, farming is a horrible business, folks. I don't know why anybody would go into it. A wheat farmer in Iowa plants 1,000 acres of wheat in April. He knows that if all goes well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, come September, he will have 500,000 bushels of wheat. September wheat futures are currently, today in April, he looks on his computer, or maybe his broker does it for him, they're selling for $6 per bushel. So today, in April, he can sell his wheat via the wheat contract futures contract that is still in the ground. It hasn't even come up yet. He can guarantee a price that he is happy with and will result in a profit. The contract states that he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel, no matter what happens to wheat prices. So do you understand the scenario? He knows that as long as things don't go bad, he's going to have 500,000 bushels of wheat to sell. Are you with me? So he can wait until September and say, he'll give me, you know, $5, he'll give me $6, he'll give me $7. He'll say, no, I'm happy with $6. Now, what is he protecting himself against? Prices falling. What if prices go up? Oh, well, he has to sell them at $6. He made a contract. And that's why farming is one of the worst occupations, folks. Don't do it. The sun shines at the right time. The rains come. The bugs are not bad. Everything's working great. You have a bumper crop. What happens to the price? Plummets. Because everybody else has got a ton of wheat to sell. The sun is hidden by there's too much rain, the crops rot, the locusts come, there's not enough sunshine. You have a horrible crop, what happens to the price? Price skyrockets because everybody else has got the problem. Great, the price is high, you got nothing to sell. What a horrible, you know, this is, you get, no matter what happens, you get rewarded. If you do really well, you get slapped down, right? You think you get rewarded. No, you do really poorly, you get slapped down. Yes. Well, that's it. That's why the government comes. People say, why are we subsidizing them? Don't talk with your mouth full. Okay? Yes, farming, that's why we have government subsidies, because farming is just such a, it's such a... If he doesn't have the wheat because of the locusts and the rain came at the wrong time, that's when the government comes in and backstops and says, okay, what can we do? That's what it gets political. Because I'm not exactly sure because I've never bought and sold these things, but probably there's something in there for insurance or something like that. No, it's David said right. The government is involved. Who needs that wheat? Consumers need that wheat. Kellogg's, General Mills, Post Cereal. Do you and I need 500,000 bushels of wheat? Hell no. But if you're going to make a million cases of cornflakes, you need that wheat. Oh no, it'd be corn, sorry. Wheaties. So they can purchase the wheat to be delivered in September and pay $6 a bushel, no matter what happens to wheat prices. So you see what the futures are doing? They are matching the producer, the seller, and they're matching the consumer, the buyer of the community of the commodity, because these people need 500,000 bushels. What are the advantages and disadvantages? When you're the producer, when you're the consumer, when you're the producer, you're protecting against the price collapsing. When you're the consumer, you're protecting against the price skyrocketing. Make sense? How'd your head yes? Okay, good. Futures contracts allow producers and consumers to hedge. Have you heard that term, hedge? What it means is you take a futures position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity, or a financial instrument. So basically, you are doing the opposite of what you need to do. Have you heard the saying, hedge your bet? The farmer is protecting himself from wheat prices falling. He'd much rather wait and see if he can get a price, a better price. But what happens if he gets a worse price? He's hedging. And the cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. So you can think of hedging, and some people use this term, you can think of it as insurance. You're buying insurance, you understand? Because the future contract is not free. You have to pay that. You have to pay for that contract. Just like you have to pay for the option. Are you with me? Everybody understand? Okay, good. And these are the hard assets we discussed. Okay? Grains, electricity, copper, gold. When you hear that gold is selling for $100 or $60 or $50 a barrel, is that today? No, that is typically 90 days, 3 months from now. So you see the price of oil plummet. And you're like, what the hell? Gas is still really high. What the hell's going on? Well, 3 months. Normally they quote the 3 months, the 30, but there are others. There are, 6 months, and I'm not sure if they're 30 days. But I've never gotten involved. George is our expert here. He's gotten involved with these things. But so it takes 3 months for the oil to get to the refinery. Probably a little bit more, because it goes the three months is where there's a place that it goes to that it gets shipped to, and then it has to be refined, and then it gets taken to the gas station. So that's why it takes five six months for the price to fall or go back up when the price of a future of 3 month futures go up or down. Make sense? Okay, and then all the others: cocoa, coffee. Coffee is one of the most expensive commodities around, folks. It's amazing what people spend on coffee. There's this one coffee in Mexico that the beans, I shouldn't tell you this, maybe not, but these beans are, it goes for $200 a pound, but these beans have been eaten by the pigs and have been excremented. And those are the best beans. The ones that were dissolved by the pig and digested, they're not the good ones. It's the ones that have been made it through the pig that are the $200 a pound coffee. Hell, I know. I don't drink this stuff. I don't drink coffee to begin with. But can you imagine being the person who harvests those beans? Yes.
There's a drought going on in California.
That's right. There's a drought going on in California. So what do you think's happened to futures prices?
That the commodities are going to go up.
Well, that's what you would think. You would think that commodity prices for many, because California produces a whole bunch of agriculture. But the almond, I read an article, the almond producers want you to know that they're really not wasting water. Right. What? Oh, almonds use tremendous sums of water. I don't know what it is, but you're right. But they want you to know that they have, well, because it's in their best interest to use as less water as possible. But still, and rice. Why would California be a place to make rice? It just doesn't make any sense. You know how rice grows, don't you? It grows in a marsh. You have to flood the entire area, and don't ask me. Anyway, so what are financial futures? The financial world adopted the technique of futures contracts to financial assets, treating financial assets like commodities, currencies, interest rates, stock and bond index. I will deliver $25,000 worth of British pounds to you next April. Or I will purchase $10,000 worth of the Standard & Poor's 500 index from you next August. So we started looking at securities as if they were wheat or corn or oil. For those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, don't get me wrong, these things have a lot of sense. They can be very useful tools. You're a car manufacturer, and you know that next October, you're going to need 50,000 engines from Japan. That's where they build the engine for your car. So you can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen payable in October. So you see what the manufacturer has done? They have protected themselves against the dollar falling because it's going to take more dollars to buy those engines. So now he or she knows, yes, I have the money. I can buy those engines no matter what. Now, if the dollar strengthens, oh well, he didn't need that futures contract. But if it collapses, he's protected. Make sense? Okay. Can anyone purchase futures? Does it have to be a producer and a consumer? Lucky you. George doesn't like me today. Lucky you. You don't have to work in either the commodities world or the finance world to buy and sell futures contracts. You can be a speculator. You see, a speculator is somebody who doesn't have any skin in the game. They're not going to have 500,000 bushels. They're not going to need 500,000 bushels. They're not going to need 50,000 engines. They're not going to produce 50,000 engines. You can simply buy and sell the futures contract. You never actually deliver or take delivery of the commodity nor the financial assets. You could buy those 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West LA and you've never even seen a farm. What do you think of this, huh? Where are you going to put 500,000 bushels? In your condo storage unit? Where are your losses? The losses are potentially phenomenal because she bought those bushels, those 500,000 bushels. What if the price collapses? You see what's going to happen? You guys are just looking at me funny. Well, it wouldn't be worthless, but she would lose potentially tens of... It's going to be worth something. Somebody's going to want to buy the bushels. But she could lose potentially tens of thousands of dollars. Make sense? Yeah, or hundreds. Speculating, we said hedging was taking the opposite position from where you are. From where, if you're the seller, you buy. If you're buyer, you sell. But accepting the futures price risk without having the position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. It is the opposite of hedging because you don't care. You don't want the bushels of wheat. You're just speculating where the price is going to go. If you bought that contract and then the price went up, you can make tens of thousands of dollars overnight. If the price went down, you could lose tens of thousands of dollars. And this is right from the book. Future speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodity price movements.
So how do you do that?
That's a good question. How do you do that? Can anybody accurately forecast the future? I can accurately forecast that the sun is going to come up tomorrow. I'm all confused because actually it's the horizon that goes down. But anyway, if our L.A. speculator sitting in her condo had purchased the futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat to be delivered in September and the wheat price is plummeted, she could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. Are you with me?
You can't just look on the chart or look at fundamentals.
And the chart is did you hear what he said? Look at the chart. Well, you can't, you're right. There's no fundamentals. There's no fundamentals. You have to worry about the sun and the clouds and the rain and the locusts. I don't know. Anybody into farming? Has anybody ever done it? No? Not in here? My son was in sixth grade, and we had a field trip to a farm out near Dehisa, Hamul area. And I was amazed. These people were brilliant. They put them all to work. Talk about an education. The kids were all complaining, this is hard. Like, you're right, sweetheart. Farming is hard work. And that was one of the best educations. Dude grew up to be a farmer.
Yeah, it worked in the 1800s.
What?
It worked in the 1800s.
And how long did people live then? Yeah, not as long. So, yeah, tractors are wonderful things now. They're air conditioned. They've got MP3 players. They're... You guys aren't, you know, doesn't it pique your interest at all? I don't want to be a farmer. All right, where do they trade it? Well, the largest, most active futures exchange is the Chicago Board of Trade, but they are traded everywhere now. They're traded in all the major exchanges. The long position is the buyer of the futures contract, the person who is protected against the future price increases, and the seller, the short position, is the, we'll talk about shorting and longs next week, is the protected from the price decrease. Okay, slide number 12. Futures seem like options. The two are similar. They are what we call derivatives. Financial futures work very much like options. There is a potential for great rewards, but there is also much more the likelihood of sustaining great losses. In fact, the potential losses from future contracts are staggering. And just like options, they are a tremendous source of commission for your broker. So, by the way, how about this one? You can purchase options on futures contracts. What do you think of that? Negative, me too. So the final comments?
Stay away from them,
yes. They're even more radioactive, potentially, than options. Okay, so I went through that faster than I thought I was, because I thought you guys were going to have more questions about futures. But now you've had less questions. So what do you want to do? Okay, I don't want to get started on chapter 2 yet. Yes?
Can you